So I just learned through this group, or the Hyannis group initially, that there's three big engines that run our lives: resentment, fear, and sex. Those three things have a lot to do with our alcoholism and the way we behave. That's common to many people, I suppose, but this is directed toward alcoholics, because the name of this book, in case you didn't see it, is Alcoholics Anonymous. So they're saying that they're talking about fear. Fear is tricky. It wears a million masks with anxiety, dread, trepidation, tremulousness, all these being too timid, all these things are masking fear. And there's named fears that we can name, but the worst, I think, at least for me, were the unnamed fears. Like, something is bothering me, something's wrong, I don't know what this, I could never identify it. So they're trying to tell us, first you identify the fear, then you either examine it, and then you find a solution to it, to do something about it. So I was told to get a notebook. This is the kind of notebook I got, one of these. This has a black cover on it because it matches my heart. And it's a composition book. Most people use them, in case you're new. There's 33 lines on it. What I did was I put fear on the very top, and then I was able to get like 8 fears on this if you skip a line. So on each page there was about 8 fears. I don't know how many pages I did because I'm not good at math, but I had about 261 fears. I put down things that I could identify. I put down things that were possible, or probable possibilities. I didn't put down, I have a huge fear of being jumped on by an anaconda in the Brazilian jungle. Because I'm never going to go in the fucking Brazilian jungle, for one thing. So I didn't put down stupid things like that, afraid of falling off the Empire State Building or whatever it is. So there's a couple of kinds of fear. Is the innate fear that we taught. I think that comes out of the primitive brain, and it's a good thing that we have that fear. If a child has a fear of falling, or we have a fear of falling. So those are good fears, fear of bigger animals than ourselves, fear of getting harmed by, fear of crossing the street and on the speedway or something like that. So there's innate, those kind of fears are good because they protect us, and I think it's a part of survival. But the fears that we deal with are a different kind of fear. And these are some of the things, like to go bump in the night. Something's bothering me, I don't know what it is, I'm afraid for this, I'm afraid for that. And in order to do that, I would try to cover up the fear. Like, I would fight with a bigger guy than I was, because I was more afraid to be shamed by my friends than to have the shit beat out of me. That was the price I would pay to do that. At least I stood up to him, to that fucking monster. So I did a lot of things because of fear that ordinarily I wouldn't do, but I didn't know that it was all part of alcoholism. So anyway, I brought an example. There's three parts to this. One is the fear itself, for me, was not the problem. It was how it was managed. So they ask us, when we analyze a fear, state the fear. Sometimes I put just write fear on the top of this page. And then I'd put either a prepositional phrase, like fear of dying, or I'd use like a noun clause, fear that I am going to die. That's all. And I just used these structures throughout the whole thing. I didn't write sentences. I didn't try to psychologize it. I didn't write a narrative or anything like that. I did it like it was shown to me. Just write down and make it tight and make it coherent and make it emphatic as you can. So that's what I did. So I'll say the first part of it was, I'm going to read about maybe 9 or 10 of them to show you what I did. And here's one of the pages I did. That's how it looks on the paper. This just didn't copy the lines down, but this is from a piece of composition paper like this. So let's say fear, and then at the top, and then I put of cancer. Why do you have this fear? They ask you. Because I rely on myself to struggle and to maintain health, to go to doctors, to take care of this, to worry about it, and so forth. What should you do? That's the problem. It's because it's the difference between self-reliance, which amplifies the fear, and you keep trying harder, which is a stupid thing. It's like you're saying, I'll will this. I'll try harder. Why? Because you're on a wrong path. Are you going to try harder so you can be fucking wronger? You keep digging the hole and making it worse? There's another solution, and the solution is a spiritual one, and it's relying on a higher power, something that's greater than you are. So this is what they're trying to train us to do. Why? Because they want us in AA to have a psychic change. They want you to be one kind of a guy and have something happen, usually at these meetings, and then you become another kind of a guy. There's a change, okay? And it's a substantial change. So they're saying we want you to rely on God and grow away from these bad situations that you're in because it only makes you drink more. At least it would me. If I was afraid, then I would drink, even if I didn't want to drink. But although I can't remember if that's a lie or not, because I can't remember ever not wanting to drink. So of cancer, rely on God for courage, sanity, and acceptance of those things that come my way just by living. Fear of death. Why do you have this fear? Because I rely on myself to struggle, to be aware, to try to control death. And I'll be amplifying that at the end of this talk. And rely on God to grant me acceptance and the sincerity, and the necessity of death. All things die. So it taught me just stop fighting. Stop fighting it. Another great thing I learned here was let it go. This thing that's obsessing you. Fear of growing old. Well, that's too fucking bad. I did this 30 years ago, and I'm a lot older now. I was 54, almost 54 years old when I did this in 1987, and here I am, okay, 30 years later. You can do the math. So I rely on myself to limit and to try to control the aging process. That was the problem, because you're forever trying to stay young, you're forever worried about this and worried about that, and they're saying, to try to accept the natural and the necessary order of things. Everything that lives must die, Shakespeare said, passing through nature to eternity, Rabelais called the great perhaps, the protector. Referred to the afterlife as the great perhaps. I had this one here that so-and-so will not go to AA. Why? Why do you have this fear? Because I rely on myself to try to influence her attendance at AA meetings. What should you do? Rely to God to help me to stay sober and to help her by example. Think of like a passive position in a way, to help her by example instead of trying to control the whole situation. Fear of compromise, which had to do with my pride. Fear to compromise with people because I rely on myself to determine how much I should yield, what should I give in an argument and money and anything else. Should rely on God to show me the benefits of giving, of harmony, of conciliation, and living a life that has less revenge in it. So anyway, I'm just going to read you one of the last ones I did. There were pages and pages of these. These are just examples. Here's the last one I did, December the 7th, 1987. That if the fourth and the fifth and the other steps don't work for me, I'm forever fucked. Why? Because I rely on myself to write the script for my life and to project and to predict my behavior, to predict my life and try to control everything. What should you do? Should rely on God to inspire me to go to Big Book Step Study meetings, stay away from a drink of alcohol a day at a time, ask for help, use a sponsor, and realize that God will do for me what I cannot do for myself. It's all capitalized in that banner. Trust in God, clean house, and help others. Okay. So that was how I did the fears. Those are basically the comments I have on fears. But I want to close it by talking about my favorite story, which is about how we have a real big tendency to cause the things we fear. We create the things that we fear. It's called Appointment in Samarra. It's only about less than a minute to tell. Samarra is a town in northwest of Baghdad, and this story takes place about 500 or 600 years ago. And in Baghdad, there was a servant named Ahmad, and Ahmad is sent by his very wealthy master to go out and to buy some things in the marketplace. And while he's in the marketplace, out of the corner of his eye, he spies death. And it frightens him so much that he drops at whatever he's doing, he runs to a stable, he steals a horse, and he rides 100 kilometers to Samarra, this town of Samarra. And then the story switches back where it's the marketplace again, and sickness comes by, and he's with death. And sickness says to death, you know that guy Ahmad that works for that wealthy guy? And death says, yeah. He says, well, I just saw him in the marketplace earlier today. And death says, that's very strange, because tonight I have an appointment with him in Samarra. Thank you.
Okay.